our best highlights.
Come on.
Out of bounds.
On the field. Footballing pioneers.
In the history of the game.
As long as there's been footy, there have been superstars for us to idolise.
Well, that just is the climax to a season.
Fantastic. All right. Welcome to the Kick to Kick podcast. Welcome back, Charlie, for our round two preview.
Yes.
And not that anyone can see, but you weren't here last week because you had a baby and you were holding that baby.
I did. And yes, she's asleep on my shoulder as we speak. So hopefully, she's getting into the footy early.
Yeah, good.
Happy to start her life with a D's win, that's for sure.
Now, she was also born on the same day Tasmania announced their new team. Let me ask you, have you bought her an inaugural membership?
I have not. How many did they sell?
150,000.
It's amazing. Yeah, I was talking to a few friends who live down there who are absolutely not into the footy at all, and they all bought their memberships. They're just like people are getting around it, which is great.
I bought one for me and my kids.
Yeah, legendary.
So then, you know, 50 years time, they can tell their grandkids, "Oh, you know that team down there? We're inaugural members." $10.
It's pretty cool. I like. Yeah. I'll have to do it. I like the I like the logo a lot. I'm not so sure about the jumper.
Well, they came out. They came out and said, like, this will be a heritage jumper. It'll be worn a few times. I've obviously, you know, they're at least 4 years out from playing. They're 4 years out from playing. They'll have other variations of it. And who has just one jumper these days?
It's true. Okay, I did not hear that piece of news. There you go. That's a pretty classic Tassie jumper. So yeah, that's cool that they can link back to that heritage. But hopefully, they can find something.
Mm. I'm sure they will.
It's hard. It's hard to find the balance, isn't it, between something that's quite like classic but fresh at the same time. Like, you don't want something that looks like a basketball jersey or anything like that. You need something that's pretty plain and classic.
And that's the other thing is, like, obviously they'll be recruiting from all around Australia. So effectively it's a state jumper, but they'll have people who aren't Tasmanians wearing it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and we discussed that last time where, you know, Polly Farmer wore a big V jumper. So in the end, I mean, does it really matter?
No, it's good. It's exciting stuff. It's all happening.
Let me get to my trivia question for you then for the start of the show.
Oh God. Okay.
Okay. This is an interesting one. How many players do you think we can link from the very first VFL game in 1897 to today? I want you to have a think about this during our recording. So how many players who have played against someone, who have played against someone, who have played against someone now?
Okay, so what's the fewest?
Yep, I want a number and see if you can name some of those players.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's a goodie. I like that.
Yeah, I thought you would. The other thing I want to quickly say was, I don't know how many people pay attention to our episode logos, but I've been paying homage to the football records from the early 90s in them. So I'm currently just copying whatever happened in 1991. I'm just trying to update it with the fonts and stuff. Yeah.
Love it.
All right, let's get to round two, Thursday night.
Let's talk about it. Yeah, so started off on Thursday night with a barnstorm. Well, I mean, it should have been a barnstormer, right?
Yeah.
What happened?
Charlie, is it too early to ask for a priority pick for Collingwood?
It's really interesting there, Timmy. I had a question. So I think there's a few things to talk about with this game, but what's the history on this? Talk to me. Who has won a premiership after losing the first three rounds of the year? No one, right?
No one. I mean, obviously Geelong did this last year and they didn't make finals. So, yeah, it's a real anomaly.
We talked about the loophole of maybe getting away with losing your first two because did opening round actually count as losing the first one? But
well,
now
the Pies are the only team in history to ever lose three games before the end of round two.
Oh God!
Yeah. So it's good. It's good and fun to pile on them now, but hopefully it doesn't come back to bite us. So let's just enjoy it while we can.
Yeah. It was very interesting. The post match stuff, and it's always the way they've become the hunted.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking for ways to beat them, and Ross Lyon basically said as much in his press conference, didn't he? That, you know, people have figured out how to beat, as long as they actually have the cattle and the ability to do it,
yep.
There's a blueprint on how to beat them.
Which, and there's like there's a psychology behind winning a premiership and how hungry they are. And they, you know, they've yep. got quite a few players over 30 now. So there's a whole combination of things working against them.
Oh, yeah. It's always hard. It's always – I feel like it's been easy to get complacent in recent history with some very powerful teams, you know, backing things up. Richmond, then Hawthorn before that, the Cats before that, Brisbane before that.
Yeah.
Like we're sort of used to teams – winning a few in a short period.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, that's not the norm. It's not how things really work, is
not
it?
Not really, so, no. And the Cats never won one back-to-back.
No.
So it's much harder. I don't know if you saw this pre-game, Mitch Cleary did a breakdown because it was Peter Evers, Nick Dacos' 50th game. So he did a breakdown of his best 50, or his 50 games and ranked them. That one probably ranked quite low near the bottom. He hasn't had a great start to the season. I like that our friends at Useless AFL Stats decided to break down Brent Harvey's games, all 432.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, who else would be up there? Definitely Hayden Bunton. His first 50 games, he won 2 Brownlows and was a captain, so that probably ranks up there as one some of the better first 50.
Yep, absolutely. Let's think who else might be up there.
Dick Reynolds wouldn't be far off with at least a Brownlow.
Yeah, absolutely. Who else just came out of the gates absolutely swinging?
Well,
would Coleman, obviously.
Yep, Coleman. Like goal kicking wise, absolutely, and premiership wise. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, it was a bit different in those days because you had players who were almost ready made and had played in the bush for a while.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So most disposals in the first 50 games since record started in 1965, Nick Dacos is third on that ladder. So above him, so he's on 1,419 disposals. Above him on 1,456 is Chris McDermott.
Yep.
Ex Adelaide Crow. And on top of that is Greg Williams, 1,474 disposals.
Oh, really? Yep. I thought we'd be looking at, I mean, Sheasel's not there yet, but he'd be looking at breaking that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he needs to play another 2 seasons. Like, he'll be into his 3rd season.
Yeah, but it's based on what we've seen from him so far, he'd be well on trajectory. Track for that, wouldn't
he? Yeah, for sure. Yep.
And we do have to put the caveat on that because I remember talking about it last year. There's a few guys before they started counting these stats, like Bunton would probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Right up there, as you mentioned before. Yeah.
Bobby Skilton would have been for sure as well.
Yeah.
Clayton Oliver's 4th on that list, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's move to Friday.
Let's talk about Friday. So the Crows versus the Cats at Adelaide Oval. A friend of the show kicked his first goal and
he did
in
Sean
AFL
Manor.
Football in Sean Manor.
He had a good little game, I thought. He did a few good things and was buzzing around and you know, got a bit of airtime as well on the football, like on Channel 7 and Fox Footy.
Yeah, did very well. And Hawk had a brilliant little spurt and kicked, what was it, 3 in 5 minutes or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just have a quick look at Sean's stats. So 9 kicks, 4 handballs, 1 goal, 2. Two tackles. So, you know, pretty serviceable.
Yeah, lovely. What else is there in that match to talk about, Timmy? Any interesting links?
Yep, Taylor Walker kicked his 250th goal at Adelaide Oval. He has the most goals at that venue for the AFL.
Lovely.
Here's an interesting one from Swamp Thing. Dangerfield kicked his 256th career behind. Breakdown of those, he's kicked 124 on his left foot, 124 on his right foot, and 8 have been like touched, smothered through.
Really?
Yeah, how's that?
Jeez, he's very consistent. That's amazing.
And Tom Stewart in his 150th game had 10 intercept marks, which is the equal record. Almost took mark of the year. If he'd taken that would have helped him break the record, but he didn't quite hold on to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cats seem back and dangerous. Crows, don't know what to think.
Well, we predicted that they were going to have a really good season.
I think we put them top 4. Can we change that? Yeah. Can we edit that out?
Yeah, hard to know. Hard to know. You can't win a premiership in April. Or in March, where are we? March. So yeah, you can't win a premiership in March, can you?
No, but as you always say, you can lose them.
You certainly can. So let's go on to that first match on Saturday, and that was North Melbourne versus the Dockers at Marvel.
It was
And
decent. They got a pretty decent crowd considering the Grand Prix was on as well, so they're
yeah.
okay. This is I didn't watch much of this game, but North got out of the blocks and were leading early, and then it just flipped around and Freo turned the switch and took over.
Yeah. Look, I mean, Freo are looking pretty good. I think North can walk away from that pretty, not feeling too bad. I don't know.
Yeah, knowing they're on the right track, but wanting to
To
give
win
that
some
four
games,
quarter effort,
obviously.
yeah.
Yeah.
Now Michael Walters has now kicked 350 career goals, which means he's halfway towards Matthew Pavlich's tally. The last time a Freo player was at least half of his tally, and he kicked 700 goals, was in round 14, 2010, and that player was Jeff Farmer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, you can't see anyone sort of getting
No.
there,
Dockers have
can
now two and zip for the first time since 2015, which is a long time. And George Wardlaw earned his second Rising Star nomination. Obviously, he didn't win it last year, so he's still eligible this year.
Yeah.
Joining other players who have received two, such as Luke Power, Nathan Jones, Mark Lacroix, Michael Hurley, Luke Jackson, and Tom Green.
Not a bad list to be on, that one.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we have Saturday afternoon's match, which was the Hawks versus the D's.
Yes, and the D's taking the TM Ferguson trophy. We're playing for that.
Yeah.
Did you watch much of this game?
I did. I managed to watch the majority of it. I sort of missed a bit of the third quarter, but I watched the first, and I think that was the one that really set it up. So no, it was great. It was really good to watch. We were saying to you when we were talking, Harry Petty being back. This is the first time I've seen our forward line looking dangerous in quite a while, which is nice. I love watching Benny Brown in there. I hope he can stay fit and healthy and stay in there.
He just makes you a better team, doesn't he?
I think so. As I've always said, I think he makes our small forwards look more dangerous. He works so hard. I'm a huge, yeah, big Ben Brown fan.
Yeah, nice. And then Cozzy buzzing around, and Harry Petty and Fritsch kick. What
Yeah.
Fritsch kick, five or six?
Five. Yeah,
Yeah.
kick five. Yeah, which just goes to show when he doesn't have to take, the number one tall forward playing at, 6'2" or whatever he is, he can be bloody dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jack Gunston got subbed on for Luke Bruce during this game. He was their 205th game as teammates, which is the second most ever games as teammates for a sub pairing. The
Okay.
most ever was in the 2013 qualifying final. Paul Chapman and Corey Enright were playing their 214th and final game as teammates.
There you go. Oh, and Chappie got subbed on for Enright, is that right? Or is it the other way around?
Yes, yeah, Chapman on for Enright, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, what do you think of the Hawks tactics? Just really trying to rough up you guys around the fringes and holding the ball.
I thought it was interesting. We were saying, I think the Hawks had 53 uncontested marks in the first quarter, which is just unheard of, sort of statistically. So they were trying to maintain possession, trying to chip it around. They were, yeah, it was an interesting one. It obviously didn't work, and then they changed it up, and things sort of, they looked a bit more dangerous in the next couple. I mean, I think they beat us in the second quarter, 2-1. But then, yeah, it just didn't quite work out for them. What can you
No,
do?
and surely the Heat's got to come this year for Sam Mitchell a bit more. Like, they've got to expect more out of them. If this
Yeah,
continues,
well,
it'll.
they've got to see the trajectory that they should be on, right? They've got to see the signs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
So we'll see what
next.
happens there.
Yeah.
And then we had Saturday night, Bud, your boys at the SCG, Essendon versus Sydney.
Yeah,
And
and this.
it was an absolute goal fest.
Yeah, it was both teams scoring over 100. As I keep saying, this is Essendon's biggest rival at the moment. This is just a continuation of this rivalry, and Tom Papley's comments after the game definitely add spice to that.
Yes,
He said you
that
can
was
be,
it. That was interesting.
tough and do all that stuff, and you still got to be able to play four quarters. They were hitting us behind the play and things like that. They're trying to do that stuff, and I don't know if it's them or not. They pretend to be tough. Sorry, you can pretend to be tough, but you still got to win the ball and win the game. It's all a facade, I think, but anyway.
Reminiscent of Ed Langdon's All Duck, No Dinner about Collingwood a couple of years ago. Remember? That didn't
Yeah.
work out so well for us, but.
No. Yeah, no, it just helps add to that. I mean, it's a bit rich as well. I remember the Swans trying to rough up some teams last year and getting stuck in the Dacos
Yeah.
against the Pies. So, yeah, interesting.
Look, it's an interesting one. I think like it depends on the purpose. If it's taking you away from your game plan and you're losing because you're trying to be tough, then that's a problem. But if it's trying to instill like a bit of aggression or pride in your club, then it can't be a bad thing, can it?
Yeah,
So,
no, I
and
like it. They're calling it the S and an
kicking,
edge.
yeah, kicking over 100 against that Sydney defence is very good signs.
Well, this is the fifth time Essendon scored 100 points in a loss in the last 4 years, more than any other team.
Yeah, wow.
I'll tell you what didn't help though. Sydney kicking 12 goals 9 to Essendon's 4 goals 3 in red time during the game.
Yeah.
And Heaney just dominating in the midfield. It's the first game in 1,722 days that he's had more than 30 disposals.
I think this year we'll be seeing a bit more of that from him.
Well, it depends on when, Callum Mills and Taylor Adams and Luke Parker come back, because they've got those three coming back, and I guess he'll go back to the forward line.
Well, will he, or maybe they give him a chance and move Parker forward? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't
It's
know.
hard to move someone out of a midfield when they're dominating like he looked like he was.
And the Swans were the first side this year to increase their scoring in every quarter.
Oh, really?
They scored
That's pretty
4-4 in the
impressive.
first quarter, 4-5 in the second quarter, 5-4 in the third quarter, and 6-4 in the last quarter.
Nice.
Yeah. Then on Sunday.
Yeah, then Sunday we had the first game on Sunday was the Doggies versus the Suns. The Doggies very happy to get a good win there, I'm sure. Bevo
Yes.
would be feeling a bit better after that.
He would. We were pushing, Nick and I last week, we were pushing for this to be called the Rocket Eid Cup, trying to get the Gold Coaster into Club Cup. Now against the Dogs, sorry, against the Demons, the Dogs kicked 9 goals in the whole match, didn't they? This game they kicked 9 goals in the first quarter.
Yeah, you're off to a ripping start there.
Ridiculous. And it kind of was just like typical Suns. This is what we expect of them in the past. I thought they might be different, and they showed a bit of heart, but in the end, it was kind of the same result, wasn't it, that we've always expected from them?
Yeah, just they just still seem a bit too mercurial, don't they? They can show flashes of brilliance, and I mean, we saw them play out a really good game in that opening round, but they just need to string four quarters together.
Yeah, they need to learn to travel.
It'll be good in maybe, a few years' time when we're still doing this, talking about, oh, remember when Gold Coast, like the Hawk, like we've talked about the Hawks in the past, couldn't get runs on the board for how many years? 25 years until they made finals, was it
Well, I think it
about?
was more.
More.
57. I reckon it was 25 to 57.
Yeah,
What's that?
okay, so there you go. So 32 years.
Yeah.
So maybe in another, what are we, tw another 25 years, we'll be saying, geez, remember, we'll look back on those days being like, God, wouldn't it be great if Gold Coast were bad again after they've won four in a row?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's an interesting one for you. So Brandon Ellis played game 250. He joins a very elite group of players. He's only one of two who played their game one and game 250 at different clubs, but under the same coach.
Really?
The other one is Russell Green, who was at St Kilda and Hawthorn, both coached by Alan Jeans.
So hang on. So yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. And
Only
we've
two
got,
people.
yeah, and we've got Marcus Bontempelli playing his 100th game as captain of the Dogs, joining Arthur Oliver, Ted Whitten, Scott Wind, and Brad Johnson.
As 100 game captains.
Yeah.
Wow. Then we had on Saturday Arvo Richmond versus Port Adelaide at the MCG.
Yeah, so Travis Boak is the 23rd player to play 350 games. He's now 50 games ahead of the nearest player on Port's all-time list, which was Kane Corns, who played exactly 300,
mm-hmm.
and 120 ahead of Ollie Wines, who's the second most of him. And nice to see him,
yeah.
Nice to see him chaired off because his 300th game was during COVID year, so that wasn't really much of a celebration.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah, that is nice. Good to see that.
Did you see the haka that was before the game for the in Richmond?
I didn't. I did so not got see
a,
that.
A debutant called Mikelty Lefua. Apologies if I can't get his name right. His family did a haka for him in the rooms as he was presented with the jumper, which was cool.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Reminds me of, you know, I'm trying to think other times the haka has been done. And in 1908, when they had the Australasian Football Jubilee, New Zealand had a team competing in that, and they did a haka during the opening ceremony.
Nice.
As did the Queensland team. The Queensland one was the better. Well, the Queensland war cry was the better of the two, more dramatic, descriptive, and interesting,
according to the papers of the day.
Yes. But yes, Port Adelaide quite easily winning over Richmond yesterday. Yeah, it'd be interesting to say. I'm still not sold on Port. They've had two pretty standard wins.
Yeah, they haven't been tested too hard, have they?
No. Next week against your lot will be the one.
That'll be very interesting. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we did mention, you know, Lever and May potentially both out, which wouldn't be ideal. I think it sounds like Lever will be okay.
Yeah, I think he was more precautionary.
Yes, but May definitely out for at least 1 week. So that's a very big hole to fill in our back line, that's for sure. And then the final match of the round is West Coast versus GWS. And that was a pretty regulation win.
But Charlie, we've got Scorigami.
Oh, okay.
108-43 has not happened before.
There you go.
Now, pre-game, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a game, like a warm-up game between past Eagles players and their sons and daughters, featuring Ben Cousins was obviously the most reported one of this. And it was very hard to find out who else was involved.
Yeah.
But also Brett Heady, Quentin Lynch, Michael Braun, Mike Lacroix, Sam Butler, Drew Banfield, all took part in this as well. And Ashley Sampey was there kicking around the ball and not playing as well. So some legends there on the ground trying to, you know, nice. Raise the spirits. Now, this game was first versus last. So the Giants were first, West Coast are 18th. Mm-hmm. Seventh time this has happened in the 18-team era between sides starting the round, sitting top and bottom. The first was in 2012 featuring West Coast first and the Giants last.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a full switch around.
Full switcheroo.
It's amazing it doesn't happen more often that it's first versus last. I guess, you know, seven times in the AFL era, or in the 18-team era, you said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the team's moving around so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no.
This is the first time the Giants have been 3-0. And just looking ahead, when, you know, at the moment, it looks like a Swans Giants grand final. They don't play until round 8 against each other, which could be a great game. Well, it should be a great game.
If neither of them drop a game until then, that'll be fascinating to watch. Mm,
the Giants have got a tougher run than the Swans over that. So it'll be interesting to see if they are still there. And so this season is the first season where all five competing states have had a team start the year with 2 wins and 0 losses.
Okay.
The Giants and Swans in New South Wales. We've got Port in South Australia, Frio in the West, Melbourne and Carlton in Melbourne, and Gold Coast up in Queensland, although the Gold Coast have now lost the game.
I was going to say, it's definitely not Brisbane.
No. do you want to go through that ladder or do you want me to go through it?
Sure, I'll absolutely love to. So we've just mentioned GWS is sitting pretty on top with 165% after their 3 wins. Sydney second. Then we've got Port Adelaide, then Melbourne rounding out the 4. Frio, Geelong, Carlton and Gold Coast rounding out our top 8. Then we have the Saints, the Bulldogs and Essendon sitting there with 1 win each. And then Brizzy, Crows, Richmond, Collingwood, North, Hawthorn, and West Coast all waiting for that first win.
You think that bottom three is pretty set?
You would. Yeah.
And an all New South Wales top 2.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, we talk Coles goals. Sydney kicked 19-13, 131 for the round, the highest score. And for the season, the Giants have kicked the most so far with 51 goals.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go.
So let's forecast ahead then, Charlie, round three.
All right, so let's have a look ahead at round where am I? Round three.
Yes, we've got a grand final rematch ranking of five.
Grand final rematch on Thursday night, Brizzy versus Collingwood. This will be very interesting. One of them is going to be on four straight losses.
Well, the Lions didn't play, so that'll be three losses.
Three losses, sorry, yeah.
But we'll still be have not won a game, which is crazy. So the Lions have been playing on Easter Eve since 2003, and they're 7-4 in these games.
Nice.
Tom Mitchell playing game 200 if he plays. Who knows if he'll be rested or not. Yeah, but this has got huge ramifications. If the Pies go 0-4, that's crazy.
Yeah.
The Lions won't be as under the pump, but still it'll be very hard for them. If they don't finish top two, they don't get a home final. It makes it that much harder to get to the grand final.
It's amazing to think that this is the position. I mean, it's still very early in the season. It's easy to project, but crazy to think that this game would come up with both of these teams not having won a game yet.
No.
That they'd both be under a bit of pressure. Look, as you just said, we might look back at this in another 5 weeks and be like, you know, what were we talking about? It's kind of like, you know, Geelong last. I mean, I know, you know, Geelong sort of lost a few. We've seen it happen before where teams just find their niche and really kick into gear and win a few in a row. So it could easily happen, but it's amazing to think that they both started this way.
Yeah, you know, Brisbane will want revenge.
Yeah.
On them.
Oh, yeah. Then we've got North versus Carlton on Good Friday.
Yeah, so the traditional Good Friday game North have played. They've only won one of the six they've played, and that was the second one in 2018 against the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got some potential history, kind of history going down. Curnow can kick a goal. It'll be 50 games in a row that he's kicked a goal.
Yeah, wow.
Joining only Lance Franklin and Josh Kennedy is the only people this century to have done it. and only at this stage, only 26 players have achieved that feat. Franklin did it for 71 games, Kennedy for 68. And then we know Tony Lockett and Matthew Lloyd have also done it. We know the record is 121 straight games by Peter McKenna. So a long, long way off that.
Yeah. Although, you know, not, you know, it's doable for sure.
Yeah.
And then we've got Freo versus the Crows on Friday night.
Yes, Brodie Smith playing his 250th game for the Crows, who, you know, under a lot of pump, under pressure now. So Freo undefeated. The Crows not having won a game. They lose this, so they've got a 0-3. This is a must-win game for the Crows this early in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I reckon the next one will be really interesting, which is on the Saturday, Essendon versus St Kilda. I feel like this really shows where both those teams are sitting this year.
Yeah. I don't know what to expect from this game. They beat us pretty convincingly last year at the MCG, and they generally play Marvel better than us as well. So it'll be an interesting game to see tactically how Brad Scott matches the tactics of Ross Lyon, who seems to just have it all over us at the moment.
Mm, yeah. Then Saturday night, we've mentioned before, we've got Port Adelaide versus Melbourne, third versus fourth there.
And this was a
Port Adelaide going into it favourites for sure.
It was a great game last year as well. If you remember, I think Port just got up in the wet on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Jack Viney's 200th game. But if you don't have Lever and May, then that changes things a bit.
Yeah.
Especially with Charlie Dixon playing into some form last week.
I know. Well, I think they're going into that game favourites no matter what. But yeah, that really makes things difficult for us, I reckon. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for sure. Always. Then on Sunday, our first game, we've got the Doggies versus the Eagles. Hopefully that's a regulation win for the Doggies. Build a bit more confidence up.
I mean, you say that, but the Eagles beat them there last year.
That is right. They did right at the end.
And these are the games you expect the Dogs to lose. So sorry, not to win. So they, in theory, they take it off. They take it, you know, they approach it not as hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, they should come out angry and have that in the back of their minds.
Yeah.
I would think.
You'd think so. Then we've got Richmond versus the Swannies. Yeah. That one at the G. So the Swannies, am I right? Have played their first two in, or they played? They've had two games in Sydney, haven't they?
Yep.
So they're looking all right. Yeah.
Who do they play? Oh, they played you round two. Oh, they played the MCG against Collingwood.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow, that's two early games at the MCG. That's good on them.
Yeah. And then finishing it up on Monday is the Hawks versus the Cats. The
traditional, now traditional Easter Monday game.
Which, you know, as memory serves, was a great game and now definitely won't be.
Yeah, I know. So they've been playing these since 2010, and Tom Hawkins has played in all of them.
Wow.
It's quite fitting. This is his 350th game. He'll become the 24th player to do that. And he's kicked goals in all but the first one as well.
Well, there you go. Hopefully he can continue that on this year.
Maybe they name a medal after him to award, you know, the Tom Hawkins medal.
Yeah, for this game.
Yeah, the Hawk medal. I mean, it's got Hawk, it's got Hawkins. It kind of works.
Yeah, why not? I mean, all they need to do, as you said, is do it 1 year and then just forget about it forever for us to remember. So that's great.
Yep. Yeah.
And then we've got the Suns and GWS with buys.
Ah, so we're going back to 2010. Before we had the expansion teams. We're just getting, you know,
a bit of nostalgia in.
Yeah, 97 to 2010 era.
So the question is, no, I was going to say, GWS can potentially hold on to that top spot even after the bye. It's probably unlikely, though, with the Swannies playing Richmond, you'd imagine.
Yeah, it depends on that margin, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, I think if they win, they'll take them. But, yeah.
Yeah. All right. How many players do you think it takes to link 1897 to 2024?
Oh, God, sorry. I haven't even been thinking about that. Okay. I am going to say 1897 to 2024. I am going to say we can do it in. So I'm trying to think of the guys who had really long careers. We've got a few, but they overlapped. A lot of them overlapped by quite a bit. Mm. So 100 and almost 130 years.
Yep.
I'm going to say we can do it in 8.
Correct. It is 8.
Yes. That's amazing. Okay, give it to me. Who are they?
We're going with Teddy Rankin.
Yep.
Who played for the Cats. Played in a game against George Hines. Who also played for the Cats and the D's and the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Who played against Albert Collier. Sorry. Played in the same match as, not played against. So Teddy Rankin obviously played with George Hines, and Hines played against Albert Collier. Albert Collier played with Lou Richards.
Yeah.
With Collingwood. Lou Richards played against Kevin Murray.
Yeah, okay, so then you got a long run, good.
Kevin Murray played against Simon Madden.
Yep.
Simon Madden played against Robert Harvey.
Yep.
Robert Harvey played against Scott Pendlebury.
Wow. It's amazing. I'm surprised there was no Michael Tuck in there. Yeah, no Dustin Boomer Fletcher. Harvey. Dustin Fletcher, exactly. Those are the guys I was sort of thinking. I did think Collier. I couldn't think who at the start. In my mind, it might have started with Condon, but no, he wasn't around for. He was around for a while, but he sort of disappeared reasonably soon, didn't he?
Yeah.
So there you go. It's amazing that you can make that link in 8 players.
Only 8. Yeah, it's crazy.
Did you do that, or did
no? That was another swamp thing.
Amazing.
He's got a few. He's got a few individual club ones as well. How many like can you link from like the Demons' first game to now?
To now, yeah.
If I find the D's one, I'll send it to.
Yeah, please do. That's great. Well, it's so good to have the footy back properly, isn't it? Just loving life.
And you'll have a lot of time at home now with new baby, so you'll have a lot of time to watch football in theory.
We had the D's on Saturday, the D's onesie on. We had, you know, the toddler with the D's jersey. I had all my D's stuff on. We were D's heavy.
Excellent.
And as I said, you know, last time when my first child was born, she was born in July in 2021. She did not see the D's lose in a game that year, and then they won the flag. So I'm wondering whether we can.
She didn't see them lose till like round 11 or something.
Yeah, exactly. Year. So I'm wondering if we can just bring a little bit of that magic along this year. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, nice. I like it.
We'll see.
Right, mate, yeah. Well, when we chat next week, I'll be on my way to Gather Round, so it might be.
Oh, how exciting! I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait to. I can't wait to wrap it up. Wrap that Gather Round up with you after you being. How many games are you going to?
Five. That's in amazing. 2 weeks. That's in a few weeks.
Yeah. No, I know. I know. But amazing. That'll be fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, until we talk about round three. Hooroo.
Thanks for listening to the Kick to Kick podcast present Backward Incoming Forward. You can find all our old episodes wherever you get your good podcasts. If you want to get in contact with us, our email address is kicktokickpodcast@gmail.com. On social media, we have Twitter at Kick to Kick Pod or on Facebook, or you can find us on Instagram at Backwards Incoming Forward. For a full list of our resources and things we use to inform our show, head to kicktokickpodcast.com. You'll also find some interesting things and all our old episodes. Once again, thank you for listening.